I'd like to direct your attention, first of all, to an expression found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'd like to title the message, He Careth for You. Certainly, a great blessing to know that there are those that love us and care about us. That's true in nature. I think it would be a very sad existence if you didn't feel that someone cared about you and had your interest at heart. But there are people in this earth that really have very few, if any, people that love them and care about them. And yet even those people, if they are God's child, God's children, what a glorious truth to ponder that He cares for us. The preceding verse says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then the next verse says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What Satan is so adept at is whispering in our ears when trials and troubles come that God doesn't care, that no one cares. You know, Satan is either given too much power by man or too little. Satan is real. Now, he is not omnipotent as God is. He is not omnipresent as God is. He's not omniscient as God is. But Satan is real. And the truth is, this afternoon, he knows all of our weaknesses. My weakness may not be your weakness, and your weakness may not be mine. But Satan knows where we are most vulnerable. In fact, remember when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. If Jesus could have been tempted as we're tempted, where would he have been most vulnerable? It would have been in the area of physical food. And remember, Satan said to Christ, If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Of course, Jesus used the word of God. He said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But see, Satan even knew where Christ would have been most vulnerable. If he knew that about the Son of God, don't you know he knows about us? And one way that Satan is so very, very successful is he knows how to discourage us. Heard one time that the devil was auctioning off his tools. He had pride and he had lust and all the other tools out in front. And someone saw a tool in the back and they asked him, said, How about this tool? He said, Oh, no, that tool's not for sale because that is the one that is most successful. It is the tool of discouragement. Did you know if Satan can get us discouraged, if he can get our thoughts confused about the things of God, he can get us doubting God's love, doubting God's care, and sometimes we get into the spirit of just feeling that no one cares. See, this afternoon it is a fact that we're going to have trials and troubles in this world. We're going to have stress. Anybody here this afternoon that doesn't have stress? Raise your hand. I asked that question a couple of years ago at home, and there was a little fella on the second row. He was about 4 years old at the time, and he raised his hand. Well, sure enough, at that time in his life, he didn't have stress because mom and daddy saw that everything was taken care of. But it doesn't take even these young children very long in life before they realize we live in a stressful world. We live in a world of trouble and stress, and many times we're in the pressure cooker. Heard about a man that had gone to the doctor, been examined, and the doctor said, "I want to give your wife the report." So the man's wife went in to get her husband's report from the doctor, and the doctor told her, said, "Now, your husband just cannot take stress." Said, "Stress will kill him." Said, "From now on, when he comes home every afternoon, I want you to meet him at the door. I want you to be ready to have his supper on the table, his dinner on the table, very promptly. Never be late with dinner. Make sure that his paper is handed to him. Make sure that he has the remote control right at his disposal. Make sure that the children haven't gotten the house strewn. Make sure it's all picked up. And by all means, if you get into an argument, make sure he wins." So she goes home and her husband says, "What did the doctor say about me?" She said, "He said you're going to die." We all have stress. Life is stressful. We have trouble. But aren't you thankful that even in a world of constant trouble, and see, the Bible tells us the truth about everything. Jesus said in John chapter 16, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You may think this afternoon, "Well, how can I make it? I love to hear the preachers talk about heaven. And heaven is a reality for God's children." See, the reason this afternoon that you can rest in the truth of God's grace is because God has given you that hope within that when this life is ended, heaven awaits you. And because you are loved of God, you are heaven bound, you are blood bought, and one day you shall inherit that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. That's something that is sure. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says that you have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. That's sure, but it even gets better than that. In the next verse, he says, you are kept by the power of God. Have you ever thought you had a reservation in a motel, and you got there, and it wasn't reserved for you? I've had that to happen several times, that you thought you had a reservation and you got there and they said, "Your name's not in the computer." My friends, our home in heaven is not like that. You have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled and it fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And then he says, you are kept by the power of God. Not only is the inheritance sure, but you are sure to reach the inheritance. See, we're going to make it to the other side because God cares for us. He says in John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I and my Father are one." God loved you even before the world began. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was dying for you. He calls you by his irresistible grace. It is a personal call. He says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. He says, first of all, you have been created. Do you know that you belong to God because of creation? Today, God made you. He created the first man out of the dust of the earth. Today, we belong to God because we are created by Him. But not only are we His by creation, He says in that same verse, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You belong to God not only by creation, but you have been redeemed. You have been purchased by Him, by His shed blood, nothing but the blood of Christ. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and not only that, you've been called, you've been quickened by His irresistible grace. He has called you from a state of death and sin to a state of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in the next verse, He says, when thou passest through the waters, when you go through the fire. He didn't say if, but He says when. The child of God is going to go through some difficult times in this earth. Notice with me in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, for just a moment. In Psalm 107 and verse 23, He says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are stilled. He compares our pilgrimage as those that are in a ship that do business in great waters. He talks about the stormy wind and the waves. He says they mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And then in the next verse, He said, they that be at their wit's end. I didn't know for a long time that that was Bible terminology. I've had people to say to me that I was trying to help, that we're going through great trials and troubles. They'll say, I am at my wit's end. You ever been there? That's a Bible term. I was talking to a lady several years ago, and she was going through so many, many great trials and troubles. And before I thought, once again, I spoke. Sometimes we speak before we think. And I said to her, I understand how you feel. And she got quite irate with me. She said, no, you don't. And I said, you're absolutely right. She said, I am at my wit's end. That I've got so many things that are piling in on me. I am at my wit's end. She was going through a very stormy time in her life. She was going through some difficult waters. Just like in the book of Isaiah, He says, when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire. Sometimes we think we're not going to make it. But see, God cares. He says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That word care in the original really means a divided mind, to be anxious. My friends, in this world, we're going to have trials and troubles, and God has a purpose in those trials and troubles to show us His strength. He shows us that His grace is sufficient. Turn with me for just a moment to the New Testament, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Here we see in the life of Jesus a very clear example of this with His own disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, Jesus said to His disciples in verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, Jesus was speaking to the 12. Now, think about it for just a minute. Here is the Son of God. Here is God manifest in the flesh. And He says to these disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Let me ask you something. Do you think by Him just saying that to them that they should have been confident that they were going to make it to the other side? Sure, absolutely. Jesus said to them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." It says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships." Hold on to that thought for just a moment. Remember, the 12 get into the ship with Jesus. But the Bible tells us there were also some other little ships upon the Sea of Galilee. It says in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Now I want to stop right there for just a moment, because that's the end of chapter 4. Now, this afternoon, all the Bible is divinely inspired from Genesis to Revelation. But the chapter divisions are not. They were added by the translators. And I think sometimes they should have gone on another verse or two before they divided the chapter. Because remember the promise that Jesus told His disciples? He says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And I asked you the question, should they have been confident that they were going to make it to the other side? Well, see, today we know the rest of the story. Because in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, it says they came over unto the other side. See, Jesus had made them a promise. See, when God makes a promise, you can rest assured He's going to keep it. Now, man may make promises, and man will not always keep his promises. But when God makes a promise, you can rest assured He will keep the promise. Did Jesus know that this storm was coming? Absolutely. There are some storms in life that we may pass through because of disobedience. Remember Jonah? Jonah had been told by God to go to Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed. He bought fare. He was going to Tarshish. And the Bible says that God sent the wind. God sent the storm. And not only did God send the wind and the storm, God had prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Isn't that an exciting story? But that is a true Bible account. Here's a man that God was dealing with, and while the storm was raging, Jonah was cast overboard. God had prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. He was in the stomach of that fish. Can you imagine that? For 3 days and three nights. Can you imagine the odor, the stench, the darkness? For 3 days and three nights beneath the ocean. But then on the third day, the fish got a stomachache, and he spewed Jonah on the dry land. And Jonah said, "Salvation is of the Lord." And I love the expression in chapter 3. It says, "And God spoke to Jonah the second time, and he went to Nineveh." But that storm came as a result of Jonah's disobedience. This storm here was not because of the disciples' disobedience. They were told to get into the ship. And they were told, you're going to make it to the other side. And yet, the storm came. And you know, isn't it interesting? You know where Jesus was? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. In the book of Psalms, chapter 121, the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." God in his divine nature never slumbers. He never sleeps. Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, and he was asleep. They awake him, and they ask the question, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Has there ever been a time in your life when you were going through some dark trials that you wondered if God really cares? Does God care for me? My friends, he cared for those disciples. And yes, these disciples were facing some great trials at this time. Great troubles. You know, trials and troubles can come up very suddenly. Several years ago, I was blessed to take the trip to the Bible lands, and I was blessed to ride a ship or a boat across the Sea of Galilee. It's only about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. Usually the water is calm. But the way the Sea of Galilee is located, it's got mountains all around it. And sometimes I'm told that storms arise very quickly because of the cold air and the hot air mixing, that the storms can rise very quickly, very suddenly on that little sea. And I believe that's what's happened that night. Here it was, a storm arose very quickly. And these disciples were very, very disturbed. Ever been a time in your life when you were sailing along and things were going quite smoothly and all of a sudden the bottom dropped out? All of a sudden things changed in your life? I mentioned this morning we buried one of our deacons this past week that had been diagnosed with cancer about 19 months ago. But he told me time and time again, he said, "Brother Kenneth," he said, "my life changed just like that." He was healthy otherwise. One afternoon, he began to have some symptoms and went to his doctor and was shortly thereafter diagnosed with brain cancer. And certainly, he said, "my life changed." And it did change. Maybe there have been times in your life when storms arose very quickly, just like it did here on the Sea of Galilee with these disciples. They were riding along and things were going quite smoothly. And then the storm arose. It said that this ship was being tossed by the wind. It was beating into the ship. And he said that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Aren't you thankful that God can give peace? Even in the midst of a storm. Now, he can calm the storm, and many times he does. But if it's not his will to calm the storm, he can calm us within the storm. Ever been a time in your life when things were, it seemed like, out of control? One trial after another. And you felt like, I'm at my wit's end. I can't take anymore. And yet, even in the midst of all the trials and the troubles, God gave you that sense of His presence. And you knew of a surety that He cares for me. He gave you that assurance. And so that's what our text is saying. He says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Several years ago, when I was living in South Georgia, I went to see this lady that was in the nursing home. She had 8 children. And she began to tell me about everything that was going wrong. She had had one operation after another. Her children had not been to see her. She said, my children don't care about me. She said, the church doesn't care about me. Nobody from the church has been over to see me. I mean, she was really having a pity party. I mean, nothing was right in her life. And, you know, I began to look at her and I thought, she is in bad shape. She was in a nursing home facility and she said, you know, Brother Kenneth, all I have is the Lord. I said, praise God. You know, you think about it, you know, if everybody else does forsake you, if your children forsake you, if everybody else forgets about you, there is one that will never forget about you. There's one that will never leave you nor forsake you. And He knows every trial, every tear, everything that is taking place in your life at all times. He says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says in verse 40 of Mark chapter 4, He saith unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then, as we pointed out earlier in the message, Mark chapter 5 verse 1 reads, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. My friends, I want to tell you, you're going to make it to the other side. Heaven awaits you when this life is ended. But you know, it's not only do we have grace to take us home to heaven when that time comes, but we have grace right here and now. Jesus Christ is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the one that is with you just like He was with the disciples. He is the one that sustains and gives strength all along the journey of life. Don't you love the hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The man that wrote that beautiful hymn had lost 3 daughters in an accident. And shortly thereafter, after he had heard about the accident, he took sail to go to meet his wife in England. And when they came to the area of the ocean where the ship had gone down, where his daughters had drowned, the captain told him that was the place. And because of that, H.G. Spafford wrote that beautiful hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Aren't you thankful this afternoon that Jesus does care? Aren't you thankful in the busy rush of life that he's not too busy, that he doesn't know all of your needs? He's the one that leads and provides. Can you look back over your life and see how God has provided time and time and time again? Aren't you thankful for his providence? Aren't you thankful that you can acknowledge him in all things? Aren't you thankful for prayer? He says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. No, he's not asleep. He hasn't forgot about you. He cares about you and your needs. He is sympathetic toward your trials and troubles. We can come boldly to a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I thank you for your real good attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.